Welcome in, folks, to the Can We Kick It podcast. I'm your co-host, Mike, along with Chuck. Yeah.
What's up, Mike?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Oh, dude, I'm hanging in there. Not as good as you, man. You've been doing some traveling and got to enjoy Rad Day at the theater, which I saw was like in the top four of the U.S. box office. So sick.
One, two, three, four, fifth. No, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, fifth. Yeah, did a little bit of work travel, which is probably the last work trip of the year.
So it is March. It sounds about right.
I don't think you're copied in on all the same communications I am, but there was a message that went out this afternoon. But it's like, are we fucking ready? Like March 27th.
No surprise.
but yeah, so it was in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I pre-booked my Rad movie all across the country at 7 o'clock, no matter what time zone you're in. And so I saw it. My daughter watched it here with her mom. The first time, she loved it. Nice. I had watched it like 3 or 4 days before on my phone, because I have it on. It's one of the, I think we talked about this maybe last time. It's yeah. One of the four movies I have that really defined my life. Rad, North Shore, Mallrats, and Idiocracy.
Working Girl.
and Human Centipede.
Oh my god.
So quick divergent before you like the Rad. I was listening to a podcast and it's called Stick the Landing or something, and did these shows Stick the Landing, and then so they were doing Eastbound and Down, the finale in the final season, and they brought up how like Kenny Powers' movie choices for his children were G.I. Joe Retaliation and Human Centipede. Well, because he's like, there's two kids in the show, like Toby and then Shane. I forget the daughter's name. He's like, shit, Toby got scared watching Human Centipede. You like that, you know, Shane or whatever. He's like, I like when they ate the poo-poo. You know, like, it's like... It's just that kind of comedy is not here anymore, except for them. And then they're in the hotel and they're like, watch G.I. Joe Retaliation like four times.
Oh my God.
It's just, I don't know. But
that's great.
But yeah, so Rad was good. Great movie. I'd recommend it if they haven't seen it. If anybody hasn't seen it, it's very 80s, kind of wholesome-y BMX. Yeah, and then, you know, just other, seems like gone every weekend with Dylan's pole vault, and so just enjoying time at home when I can.
Yeah, road warrior over here. Yeah,
about to make another trip like tomorrow to San Marcos.
Yeah, you're missing out. I got an extra ticket to the improv, so I'm gonna have to find somebody to go with me.
Yeah. You may need to find a working girl.
Yeah.
yeah, that'd be cool to go to, but yeah. I don't think I'll be back in time. And then, we're doing an eclipse trip.
Nice.
We're going to Ole Miss for a track meet, and then we're going to scurry our way over to Hot Springs, Arkansas. And then see the eclipse on the 8th.
Is that like a baby moon? It's like a honeymoon, but because you're having a baby?
No. That's a no moon. I'll be mooning the moon in the campground.
Yeah. Must be a gas leak. You know, we're getting fucking diverted all over the place. I love it, though.
that's what we should name our podcast, Divergence. There's a show like, remember Divergent and
the movies that nobody watched?
I watched the first one, that was pretty good. I think it was Divergent.
It was.
Then, yeah. I think I took me and the kids saw it in the theater. Yeah.
I think it was the, I think they called it the poor man's
Hunger
Hunger
Games.
Games.
It came out after Hunger Games. Yeah, it was very like, how can we monopolize on like teenagers, like, or the, you know, but
We
yeah,
got to stop
where
doing
we at?
dystopian stuff. Like, they got to do Rad and like Vision Quest. Like, give me like a high school, like teenage angst with like a goal to achieve something in a sport. Like, that's all I want.
Well, and that's North Shore too, the surfing movie. Rick
Yeah.
Kane wins, he wins the Arizona State Surfing Championship. And after he graduates at 18, he goes to Hawaii and surfs the big waves of the North Shore for the summer. And then it literally ends by him flying back because he's going to go to art school in New York. Like, it just, the ending is he gets on a plane and says goodbye to like this girl that he slept with and Turtle, his like best friend. No, that's how it ends. Like, he goes, like, as he's getting on a plane. That's why we do this. It's like,
I can write a script for the 80s. That's so fucking great.
Dude, we are writing a script. Like, we're going to write it. We're going to write our, because I thought we had really good ideas for True Detective season 5. So
100%.
We're writing a script one day.
We should do that. That'd be great. Oh,
Pete,
man.
And in our pitch meeting, like, I'll go and dress like this, and you go and dress like that. And we'll.
It sounds like a winner to me, man.
Perfect.
Oh, dude.
No, but I ain't nothing but a pitch, bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Andy Bernard, it was Andy Bernard, there, right?
Just listen to E flat the whole time. Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Not much, man. Just been catching up. Watching. I just started rewatching The Young Pope with Jude Law, where he like becomes the Pope. He's like the youngest Pope ever, and it's the first U.S. Pope, but he like also doesn't believe in God. It's so like, it's an HBO show, man. It's like we were like making fun of the regime earlier. I have no idea what's going on or what the purpose of the show is, but I'm somehow enthralled.
How do you have a Pope that doesn't believe in God?
Exactly.
Is that the purpose of the show?
It must be, yeah.
How did he become the young Pope? I never, so did you, are you rewatching it or watching it for the first time?
I watched half of it when it came out and then I think I got distracted by Game of Thrones because I got on that bandwagon late. Or no, it was when Westworld was out because it came out right at, it would debut right after Westworld. And I was like, okay. And then got into Game of Thrones, but, so I'm pretty much watching it for the first time, but the first episode, that's like what happens. It's like he goes to confession and he's like, I don't even believe in God. And the guy's like, wait, what? You're the Pope. And he's like, I'm just messing with you. I'm just. And he just gives that look. And it's just like, oh, this dude is like messed up. So super interesting. So
yeah,
I've been watching that. I just started watching Three Body Problem. I've been waiting for that to come out for the longest time because I've read half the book. And I think you started watching it too. You blew through it pretty quick.
Well, it's funny because I tried to pace it out. So when I was flying back the other day, I watched the first episode on a plane. And then I drove to Baton Rouge the next day after that for doing track meet and drove home. And that night I watched like the second one, second episode. And then, like, what was it? I think I basically hit episodes 3 through 6, like, Sunday. and then I watched 7 and 8, like, last night, I think. So I I didn't want to blow through it because this is why I hate Netflix shows, because I just end up blowing through it. And then now I'm like, and I just was telling Mike off air, when episode 8 finished, I'm like, oh, the next one's not popping up. And I go back and there's only 8. So we won't talk about all that here because Mike hasn't seen all 8, but I blew right through them.
Yeah, I'm going to finish it this weekend. Yeah.
But it's really, I mean, I was reading stuff about it this weekend that they were talking about making this back even since like 2020.
Yeah.
So, and probably longer, but I think we have the right stewards for this with Benioff and Weiss from Game of Thrones, because, you know, a lot of people shit on Game of Thrones for the last season, which I liked, but what they did with the source material was awesome, and that's what it's seeming, that's like their bread and butter, and it seems that they're doing the same thing over again with Three Body Problem.
Yeah.
And from all the critics that I've read. But
it's interesting that it's on Netflix with Benioff and Weiss, like, jumping ship from HBO. Maybe they didn't feel the love after Game of Thrones. I got to imagine those guys were just could have done anything they wanted with the success of Game of Thrones and all they did for that show for 10 years. But, you know, this wound up on Netflix. It is like a full drop. So you have to savor the flavor, or it just becomes oversaturated and you just miss things. Because I have that problem with Netflix as well. But it's a huge cast. A lot of people from other stuff. Some people from Game of Thrones, like Stannis Baratheon, we were talking about, and Samwell Tarly.
Yeah.
And it feels like an HBO show. At least, you know, the intro has like that Westworld like vibe to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just interesting it wound up on HBO or on Netflix. I can't believe, maybe it's because part of the Warner Brothers merger with Discovery and they were like passing on it. It just seems like a ridiculous notion to pass on.
Yeah, it seems HBO, I mean, this would have been a perfect show for HBO, but it feels like, just to divert a second, it feels like HBO is not making the right calls on the flagship shows recently. Like, Tokyo Vice is just coming out streaming on Thursdays, right? And that's the best show that HBO has. That it should is. Be the Sunday night flagship show. And right now it's The Regime, which you and I have only watched two episodes, to be fair. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if it's good or bad. It's got Kate Winslet. And a poor man's Jason Statham as some murderer. Like, so it's just missing, HBO is missing the mark. I mean, if you think about it, you had the one time period where I was watching 100 Foot Wave, then Barry and Righteous Gemstones, and I was trying to think of the flag, it was Westworld, or is it another show? But there was Succession.
Yeah.
There's like four shows in a row that were fucking bangers. Like, yeah. And now I can't even tell you anything else that's on besides The Regime on Sunday night, and I'm not even watching it. No. So
there were times where HBO got 3 to 4 hours of my night.
Yeah.
Just dedicated to watching new shit. And now I'm just catching the stream when I feel like it for The Regime, and and have to for Thursdays to catch Tokyo Vice, which seems to me like, I don't know what they're doing with it. Don't put it out to pasture if that's what they're doing, but that's a Sunday night premiere. Like, this season is just as good as the first. And the fact that it's just like, oh, we're dropping it on Thursday night, nobody gives a shit. Like, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, they really fucked that up.
The Three Body Problem is pretty good. People should check that out on Netflix. All the episodes are out.
So how far is, there's three books, or the three books different titles?
Yeah, three books different titles. The Three Body Problem, another one is Death's End, I think, and I can't remember the third title. But yeah, it's three books, and they're all pretty large books. And pretty groundbreaking. You know, a lot of sci-fi that we're exposed to comes from the U.S., right? Asimov and all these guys from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And, you know, then they started branching off in the 90s to some degree. I think with Solaris was Swedish. And now you have the Three Body Problem, which is coming from this guy from China. And it's groundbreaking. And starting to look at sci-fi just outside of the U.S. is really starting to change the landscape in terms of what it's capable of doing. So this is a huge, huge moment for books becoming shows and for sci-fi itself.
Yeah, and the three books are The Body, Three Body Problem, The Dark Forest, and Death's End. Yeah, 600 pages for The Death's End. Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, I was just, I mean, I like was reading the John Hattleman, and then I'm trying to think, I mean, like a lot of the Hugo Award winners.
Oh, yeah.
And like, said, a lot of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I was trying to go get the book. William Gibson's from the UK, but that was the Neuromancer.
Oh, and yeah.
I read that, the trilogy that he had with the Neuromancer. So there's really good science fiction.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like, you know, it's kind of Westworld-y that. And this is in like Black Mirror, that this doesn't seem too far fetched.
No.
So wait till you get episode 5. Some fucked up shit happens in episode 5.
Dude, I can't wait. It, you know, it kind of is a good thing that it wound up on Netflix, because it falls within that Black Mirror spectrum of sci-fi shows that Netflix takes on, where HBO doesn't take that big the biggest risk in terms of sci-fi that I can think of that HBO did was Westworld.
Well, but I'm just thinking about like book adaption, right? So you have Game of Thrones. When Game of Thrones came out, did you know what that was?
No.
Yeah, and I never watched fantasy like stuff like that. And then it became a cultural phenomenon. Like Three Body Problem could have been that for HBO. I mean, Westworld was kind of that, and then it just teetered. I mean, the first season, like I think the audience dwindled after the first season, but
yeah.
So, I don't know. It's but it's good. I highly recommend it. I think the first 5-6 episodes are really good, and then it kind of started to waffle a little bit for me, but I didn't know it. I thought they were like middle 3 episodes until like 9 and 10. Yeah. So it kind of threw me off a little bit when it ended, but anyway. So
yeah, we'll
if you're
check
not watching
that out.
Watch it.
Yeah, we'll catch up on all of that next week, and watching you, have you been keeping up with Shogun? I have not watched past the second episode.
Yeah, I'm up to date. I think we're on episode 8 or 9. But I didn't watch this week's yet because I'm a little behind, and I was watching the one we just talked about forever.
Three Body Problem. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that is really good. I mean, to me, I still think Tokyo Vice and Shogun are the two best shows on TV this year. And then Three Body Problem is in the equation.
Well, right, I can't now. I can't wait to see our mid-year like TV show selection. Like, it's not a huge category, but just I think some of these shows are head and shoulders above like the others.
Yeah, I'm trying to think with like, I'm honestly trying to think. Oh, sorry, it's episode 6 for Shogun.
For Shogun. Yeah.
But, and that's a 10 episode, just one season. So, I mean, that's
also
not
a book adaptation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we running out of good stories to tell?
Good stories or original stories?
Original stories, yeah.
Yeah, I think they have given up on original ideas.
Well, I'm going to propose something to you that I don't think you're in this episode yet, but during the game, and if you reach where they go into the game, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm thinking 3 or 4 or 5. They talk, or no, actually it's later on. They talk about technology and how the progress humans have made through technology, but as we, you know, you went from like cavemen to where we are today. So it took 10,000 years to get to this point, and now from that point to 50 years, you've gone
straight up.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you were like this, and then you've gone straight up, but then now you're going to be going, you know, like flat. There's a certain point where you hit
a diminishing
return. Yeah. Until chaotic error happens, and then you restart, or civilization restarts, or
growth and advancement is so exponential, especially with the human race, that at some point you plateau, and then something happens that sets you back by like 1,000 years, and then you basically start over. I mean, it's insane how that cycle works, because I mean the Dark Ages and things like that are a huge part of it. But yeah, you know, we've reached, you know, yeah, there's some original content that we don't know about, but how many times can you recycle the same book or movie from the past? Like, how many times are we going to watch Star Wars with it's basically the same plot? Whereas, like, pick a manuscript that hasn't been done yet. Like, I watched The Holdovers not too long ago with Paul Giamatti, and yeah, it's kind of a ripoff of Dead Poets Society, but you put Paul Giamatti in it, it's not as romantic as Dead Poets Society. It's very much, it's very cynical and very like nihilistic look at like growing up and all this stuff in school and stuff. It was an amazing movie.
Yeah.
But it was just a manuscript before. I don't think it was a book, and it never was another movie. But it's a lot like Dead Poets Society. So how much is original of anything
anymore? Yeah, and you all draw, everybody draws from their influences, right?
Right.
So even if you come up with something original, you know, like, I'm going to draw from different, if I write something, right? So, like, if I want to write my serial killer book, guess what? I'm getting ideas from watching Dexter, from reading about serial killers, like, all the books I've read on them, or whatever. So, guess what? All those are, it's going to be an amalgamation of everything that I've read or, you know, watched. So it's, I mean, it's like, that's what I think kind of, but even sci-fi is based in, you know, some sort of reality, but it's just taken to a different level. It's drawn from some kind of experience, but I don't know. That's why I like the John Haldeman, like, Forever War and Forever Peace. It just, like, I mean, he took experience of like Vietnam War and turned it into this fucking sci-fi thing. And Forever Peace is just like wild as well, but it's like peacetime after that. And it's just, but it's unique. Like, even though it's kind of, it's turned his experiences into fantasy, but it's
drawn off of,
it's
something,
about,
right?
War. I mean, it's about,
right,
war.
It's drawn off of Vietnam and a lot of stuff, but it's unique in its own perspective. That's what I like. And, you know, the perspective of the time, because even at the end of that book, like, he's going to like that space station, and it's called Middle Finger, which is like a big fuck you to like the war and everything. I just love that. Yeah. That's fucking original. Redoing Star Wars for the 12th time is not original, in my opinion, but it's funny you mentioned that, like, an extrapolation and like dilution of everything that we like have seen. I literally came up with this idea the other day of writing a story about a stand-up comedian who also like killed people, like, because he was a fucking like sociopath. It's almost like Barry, but not.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. We could, you can relate it to so many things, but some of that though is what people want, like the nostalgia. Like, if they made a BMX, I mean, that's when Netflix did the Cobra Kai series. I didn't watch it, but you know who did? A lot of people that
love. A lot of people.
The Karate Kid. So,
yep.
I really think it's, I mean, there's a couple things. So hard to come up with original content, that something that's never been done.
True.
But it's also hard to turn a dense, wildly complicated sci-fi book into a successful show or movie.
Oh, 100%.
And I think that's what, through those 8 episodes, I was kind of blown away. I really love the story. Like, I love the three body problem.
It's
And
great.
the story behind it, it's told really well. And I don't know how it relates to the book, but it's told really well.
Yeah.
So.
Well, even like we're talking about the three body problem. Dune is another like sci-fi movie type space opera that is very hard to like adapt into a movie, and yet they're doing a really good job now. But it's more than just like graphics, right? Because you can throw graphics on anything and it may suck ass, but you have to have dialogue and all these things. And I think that's what the three body problem and Dune and some of these other things are starting to figure out is, it's all coming to this point where it's starting to work if you have it in the right hands and not
Yeah.
just, hey, let's make $500 million off of some movie because of nostalgia,
Well, and that's good art will find a way to make money eventually over time. Good, I mean, you look at writers and poets and performers that weren't popular in their day, that their works last long. Sometimes they're ahead of their time or behind their time, or, so.
But
We're philosophizing over here.
another one that's a good adaptation from a book is the other show we were just talking about is Tokyo Vice. Like
Yeah.
that's a biography
Well,
or
dude,
autobiography
we just
to
named
some
our three
degree.
favorite shows. They're all adaptions from books. So.
And I think that's what I like the most about, I think, or what I'm drawn to with Tokyo Vice is, it's loosely based on, his life story, loosely, because
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's always, exaggerations and things like that. But to put myself as a white male in Japan in the 90s, where he experienced, discrimination for being a gaijin and an American on top of that, and to work for like the national newspaper where you had to like read and write and understand Japanese and stuff like that. Dude, I couldn't even do one of those things.
Yeah.
So to just throw himself like off the deep end and be like, I'm doing all of this because I want to get the hell out of Missouri blows my mind. And I think that's what I really like about the show.
Yeah, Tokyo Vice is a really powerful show. And it's funny because you said Gaijin, right? With Jake Adelstein, and in Shogun, the barbarian, he's called the Anjin, like, which means barbarian or something. So Anjin and Gaijin, like, it's just missing the G, but it's very, I don't know. I had a friend who just got back from Japan that ran the Tokyo Marathon, and he did like seven cities. And I'm like, that's what I want
Hell yeah,
to
dude, yeah.
So, but yeah, switch Tokyo Vice, right? So we're getting down. Do you say there's 10 episodes?
Yeah, there's 10 episodes. I think we have like three left.
I think two. I think last week was eight.
Maybe so, yeah. We're nearing
So.
the end, and it seems like it's definitely all culminating because, last week we joked about how, the first episode of season one was like this shot of the future where he's supposedly meeting with some high up, Yakuza guy, and he has to wear a bulletproof vest, not because he's going to get shot, but because they'll stab you. We joked about not being caught up to that. And then like this week's episode, boom, like we finally caught up to that point in time. And I think
Yeah.
they did a great job with it.
Yeah, they did an awesome job. I mean, especially not knowing if there was going to be multiple if they were going to get renewed, I guess, as
Right.
well. And so hopefully they get renewed again, but it's another show that nothing is done without purpose. And so if something comes up or someone is there, it's gonna come back.
Yeah. In the dialogue and the story and the script, it's not like True Detective season four, where we'll just pull some shit from season one because it doesn't matter just to get
Yeah.
viewers. Like everything in Tokyo Vice is used from when Adelstein first went out and hung out with Sato, he saw Tozawa wearing the watch, and then just in this episode he sees this the surgeon had a surgery for Minnesota Hospital wearing the exact same watch. And it's like a $500,000 watch or whatever. So it's like nothing is just used for no reason. That's so great.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's hard to put into words how good the show is, because it's not. I mean, it's kind of like it's a little more in depth than Slow Horses, but it's a noir, but it's
so this season, right? We see like the Goomies are being kind of trying to be broken up by the police in Tokyo, and Tozawa's pivoting and trying to make them a corporation to some degree. I don't get it. And
he came back. Stay legitimate. I mean, just trying to be legitimate rather than Shakedown, and they can use the money and his wife's family money to, which in this episode, they basically buy the
prime minister,
emperorship, prime minister.
Yeah.
He was the transportation secretary, and that was, and he was involved with, the death of the
Paulina. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and Tozawa is very short-sighted, wants to, you know, stack the Justice Department, but his wife is more business savvy, wants to stack the finance department. And so they obviously come to, you know, they don't ever argue. They just are like, stay the hell out of my way. And they just don't ever, it never like comes to a head with those two. But I got a feeling it will at some point. But yeah, I love how the transportation secretary comes out of nowhere and becomes prime minister, and everybody's like blown away by it. They're like, oh, who the hell is this guy? And it's like giving our Department of Transportation head like the presidency. Nobody knows who it is.
It's like electing Donald Trump.
Yeah. For real. And so, you know, Jake is dealing with that. And then, you know, Sato's been kicked out of the Gumi. And then he goes back and he has to deal with Hayama, because he's like pulling his brother deeper and deeper in, and has him like shoot some of Tozawa's guys. And love the scene where he just shows up in the bathhouse and a bunch of naked dudes wind up like drowning Hayama. So just such a great, funny to me, laughing. And then I don't know what's going to happen to him, man. He's just, I got to imagine he's going to take over that section of Yakuza. Like, he's got to be nominated. And what else? What happened with the Mama-san? Samantha, what happened to her?
Mama-san.
Yeah. She was all in the media because of the shootout at the club that killed Ishida.
And her
Architect boyfriend. But she was doing something. She was trying to... Oh, yeah, she went after the host that got Paulina killed, basically. And, like, stormed his, like, apartment, and he, like, didn't have shit.
Yeah, that's right. So that was... Oh, I was trying to remember where that guy was from. So he was a host, a male host at one of the clubs?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, and it was the one that Paulina went to, and he, like, that was, like, the night before she disappeared, like, she kept buying, like, high-end, like, bottles of booze. And he just, like, kept, like, pushing her, like, to do it. It was really messed up. So then she winds up dead on that yacht. So we think, or she's, like, Tozawa's new wife. We'll see. Speaking of which, like, Tozawa's got himself a new, like, honeypot. So he's, like, putting what's-her-name out to pasture by giving her mom a house. So super weird how that's going down.
Well, yeah, I mean, she should be happy to get out of the... I mean, it's funny that the wife knows what she's doing and the bodyguard knows what she's doing, but Tozawa doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah. I don't know how much longer Tozawa's going to be able to stay alive. Like, he's pissing off the wrong people.
Yeah, he has all the powers, no?
He is consolidating it in his favor. It just, he's gonna Pablo Escobar himself, and he's gonna be too public. You know, you control the politicians as much as you want, but the second you go public and you start murdering people, that's when the politicians start turning on you. So I don't know, how do you think the season is going to end? Because are they going to be able to like catch Tozawa with enough evidence? I don't know. The last episode is titled The End Game, so I think they're setting up for a season three, in my opinion. But no word on confirmation.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out, where the season is going. What the end game of the season is. I mean, does like, who, we've already had a bunch of people dead, right? I mean, well, we have I mean, a lot of the big bosses are dead, but like, obviously we don't lose Jake Adelstein, and are we going to lose any of the detectives? Or now Saito's in charge. Like, does he take out Tozawa and become a peaceful Gumi? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Does it just culminate in one big like Yakuza civil war, and the police are involved with like Katagiri, whose female boss like just got replaced? So now, like, are they going to be going as hard on the Yakuza as they were? So that's why they're going to lean on Jake more. Like, oh, it's so the dynamic in the season changes like every three episodes. It's great.
Yeah.
But I think there will be a third season that will ultimately end up
commit suicide.
I'm half expecting like her to like attempt suicide, wind up in the hospital, and like the Yakuza go after her, and his dad, being an ex-detective, just like blows him all away at the hospital and gets shot. Like, yeah. That's what I see coming. But I don't know, man. It's such a great show. I really hope like Max doesn't screw it up, because it's so good.
They've been no good so far.
Yeah. But any other thoughts on Tokyo Vice?
No, just excited for the finale, and hope it gets renewed and gets more pub, because it's, I mean, there's some great shows, and they're spread across three networks right now. And then if you count, I mean, just think Shogun, Three Body Problem, and Tokyo Vice are on three different networks. You throw in Resident Alien, which I'm watching, it's on Peacock.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the four shows I'm watching are on four different networks. Yeah. So it's quite the departure from, like, we went through a couple year period where every show we were watching, the main ones we were talking about, were on HBO. So
it's a rarity. Yeah.
I haven't even gotten to like Apple shows now. Like, there's that space show. I watched like two episodes of Masters of the Air. I haven't been able to get back into it. So, I mean, there's other shows out there. So,
yeah. And I heard Constellation, which was the space show that you were talking about, got like a huge, like, rave review from Stephen King. So it's supposedly like really good. I haven't started watching it, but he gave it like 5 stars. So have to check that out. If you're like
does Stephen King give bad reviews unless you're like a right wing politician? Because yeah, I follow him on Twitter. But like, he has in the Forever piece, he has a blurb on the back page about the author and the book. So,
oh yeah, like,
that's good. He recognizes good shit when he sees it.
He knows good shit when he smells it, man. Yeah. But yeah, and you know, another suggestion, if you like Shogun and Tokyo Vice and Three Body Problem, you know, another show that may be right up your alley is The Terror, which was a Hulu FX show. It's an anthology series. The first one was about the expedition to the Antarctic, which takes like a weird like sci-fi horror turn. And then the second season is based in Japan, I think, that's also like sci-fi horror.
Nice.
Folklore. So you might check that out. I've heard that's really
good. The Terror?
The Terror, yeah. And it's based off of books. Yeah. So seems to be that's all we're getting these days. But
yeah,
man,
that's all right.
Yeah, they're doing good so far. So
yeah.
If there's nothing else, man,
that's it.
Appreciate everybody for kicking it with us this week, and check out the podcast platforms and the website, kickingitmedia.com. And be sure to catch the end of the March Madness, because the Cougs are making a deep run this year.
C-O-U-G-A.
A&M almost had it, man. I can't believe they took it to overtime.
Great game.
Mm-hmm.
Shitty refereeing.
Overall, oh, it's horrible. But great game. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, as Cousin likes to say,
we'll be back in 2-2. Peace.